Welcome to our Worldwide Network for Success, WWYNS, your dedicated business radio station. The mission of our station is to help you learn how successful managers and business owners direct their businesses, capitalize on opportunities, and overcome adversity. Our objective is to help you understand and apply their insights, then use your expertise in your own business or job so that you can become more successful. And now, here is your host, Joe Camara.
Whether you're a professional, a business owner, or a high-level manager, our goal with each program is to provide you with at least one actionable idea you can implement immediately to build your success in business. And today we're talking about, we're going to be answering the question, why would your business want to host a radio program? And our guest today is Joe Camara, President of Consulting Task Force. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks, James.
And this topic's, it seems to me this is something that you know a fair bit, fair amount of information about as well as I, and I'm looking forward to the discussion. Why don't we introduce our listeners to the idea of radio and why we think and why you think radio works?
Well, if we think about radio as an advertising medium, I guess one of the things that we think that it works as a reason that it works is that basically there's a lot of frequency. You can, if you're buying ads or commercials, you can get a lot of repetition, and if people are listening on a regular basis to a particular type of radio program, people hear the same message over and over again and get accustomed to it. There's some research that indicates that people tend not to take action until they've heard or seen an ad more than 9 times, and so the radio is a good medium to reach the kind of customer you want. And when we talk about the kind of customer you want, we're talking about target marketing. We're talking about dealing directly with the kind of customer you want to attract. So in our case, so the reason we like to be on the Business Radio Network is, I guess for obvious reasons, we want to reach business listeners. And so because the Business Radio Network exists, so we're able to tap into people that either have a financial interest, an interest in improving their success, or improving their business, and so that's good for us. In many ways, and we all are familiar with commercials that are more than just image commercials, we can promote or tend to encourage people to take action, to call our number if they want a tape, or call our number if they're interested in building their business or getting some information from us. And so for that reason, it's another good mechanism that can work. Certainly that works in all the other advertising media, but with the right ads, it can certainly be a valuable thing. The last thing is we think it's a very valuable tool in creating credibility. It's one of those things that little companies don't do very much of, especially host a radio program. They may run commercials, but in terms of hosting a program, which is one of the things we're going to focus on, most companies really don't do that. So it's sort of helping establish our credibility and helping set us apart from our competitors who don't have the same tools to use that we do.
So you've talked about the radio program, the long format program. You've also talked about commercials in the context of repetition and frequency, and you've also talked about those same things in terms of credibility and targeting your marketing. Do you have to be on a radio station that targets a market, or is it more important? And is the real point of having a long format program the idea that people are going to tune into your program because of the specific topic, if it has to do with real estate or if it has to do with finance or business?
Well, I would say if we were on some other radio stations that focus on the younger market, 12 to 21-year-olds, we'd be wasting our time. They're not going to buy our services. So I think the targeting is certainly an important element. Now, if you have a mixed audience, let's say your audience is 34 to 59 or 52, whatever the demographics are supposed to be, and of those there are listeners who are in business, certainly we could be on a radio station that does that, and in fact we may be going to that, have that opportunity. But the point is that we're better off by targeting. I think one of the ideas that I think appeals to me about the targeted nature of radio is that it's like a magazine. If you're trying to reach hunters, there's no sense in advertising in a magazine that's advertising swimsuits. And so for us, I think the targeting idea is an important one. And the same analogy could be made for magazines or TV. I think cable's going to go force TV to go in the same direction that radio and magazines have gone, and they're going to be highly targeted type stations. And in fact, CNN is a good example, or ESPN with sports is a good example, where people who have those kinds of products want to be on those kinds of stations because they gather listeners that have an interest in the products that they're selling.
So you're suggesting that radio offers us a first level of targeting, but you're also then suggesting that the value of a long format program over a commercial is that you can further target and attract listeners by the nature of the program you have.
Sure. I doubt that people who are not interested in business continue to listen to us. If OJ's on and they tune in for OJ, then we come on and they're not interested in business at all, or business topics are challenging their mind, they're going to tune out. They're going to go to another station of some sort. And so that's great, because we're reaching the kind of people we want to reach, and the people who aren't interested in listening to us are gone.
What are the other reasons that perhaps a program, a long-format radio program, would be better than a series of commercials?
Well, let's just think about the multidimensionality. If you followed our programs at all, anybody who's listened over a period of time knows that we've hosted, for instance, the president of banks. We've hosted presidents of manufacturing firms and all different kinds of things. That is good for us because it helps us associate with people who are important people in the business community. So that in our case, it demonstrates a multidimensionality that I think our competitors just can't provide for the most part. One of the things we're doing now is giving information. A commercial is great for repetitious kind of information, but if somebody's looking for a detailed kind of information, and we get people requesting our tapes all the time, they want to know what we have to say in greater depth. So we wouldn't have the opportunity to do that unless we had a huge number of commercials explaining something in detail over a period of time. So we can get into something in more depth, just as Bill Breslin does, or just as any other of our other show hosts that are talking about topics of particular in-depth information. I also think that it gives a different image than the average commercial gives. It's not a commercial, in a sense. It's information giving. And if somebody likes information giving rather than receiving a hard sell, they like the idea that they're getting something of value, even though they're not paying for it directly. They're investing their time and effort, and so that gives us an opportunity to create an image that I think a commercial would not be able to give us. Now, there may be other formats, and when we first started in radio, we used other formats that were information-oriented. I'm not saying you have to have a show or that you have to have a half-an-hour show, but certainly there's a value there that we wouldn't be able to get just from commercials.
So it's not just the time, it's not just what you say, but it's how you use that time, whether it's an interview, whether it's information-giving. What other ways can you use a long-format program to add value to your marketing?
Well, I don't know. I guess I've covered most of the ones that I have. I guess, to me, there are probably a million ways. It depends on your creativity. We could probably do a call-in show. We've chosen not to do that because we like to focus on a particular topic and give good information, whereas a call-in show is kind of responding to needs. That's certainly a good format and might work for, oh, in fact, we helped co-host a program that was real estate-focused for another firm. On a different station, and they liked the call-in format. It gave them the opportunity to come and really not be as prepared as we might think we should be for an information-giving show, but they could just respond off the cuff and have a little bit more humor, maybe. That's something we don't do particularly well, but nevertheless, somebody who's got good humor skills, that would be an element they could add that might show a different dimension to their capabilities.
So the longer format gives you an opportunity then to control the programming that's on the air, give the listener something very specific to listen to, gives you an opportunity to give out more information and educate your listener, as well as position yourself as a credible, knowledgeable information giver. I also imagine that it allows you also to use commercials. You don't have to. It gives you much more flexibility. You can use a tip, which is might be 2 or 3 minutes long, a long format, which is a half hour, maybe 2 or 3 10-minute segments, or just a 30-second or a minute commercial.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else that we can that you've done particularly that has leveraged the value of a commercial, like perhaps giving it longevity, giving. You mentioned tapes, I guess. I'm going to give away the answer, but tapes seems to me to be another opportunity to make that investment in the program longer lived.
Sure. Well, it's like I guess I recommend to people who take some of my seminars, that if you're going to write an article and get it published, it's not a good idea to let it sit in the drawer after the fact. Just the fact that it was in a magazine has a certain shelf life, but I recommend to people that they take that article and use it as part of their promotional tools, and that's what we do with tapes. We send tapes to people that we think might be interested in the topic we've talked about, or who might be interested in having their own radio program and want to join us in terms of making a relationship with us, a sponsor, or whatever it happens to be. So we use those tapes for marketing tools very effectively, I think.
Great. You're listening to your Network for Success. We're talking with Joe Camara, President of Consulting Task Force, and we're talking about answers to the question, why would your business want to host a radio program? We'll be back after these words.
Now more than ever, it's important to take a systematic approach to achieve your business and personal goals. Consulting Task Force's Network for Success is a program that provides the contacts, knowledge, and skills you need today and beyond. Earn a 5-to-1 return from your investment in Network for Success through more than 800 introductions to key business decision makers and 250 training and educational opportunities on advanced and timely issues important to the growth of your business. Take advantage of face-to-face contacts, personal referrals, and bottom-line ideas on every functional area of business. For a short time, $99 can buy you a 12-month Network for Success membership. Call CTF at 634-7013 for information. 634-7013. Ask about the guarantee. Call 634-7013.
Welcome back to your Network for Success. For our listeners, cassette copies of all programs are available by giving us a call at 634-7013. You can call CTF 24 hours a day. That number again is 634-7013. We have more than 550 titles that you can choose from if you have an interest. We probably have the information. Joe, we're talking about why a business would want to host a radio program and more generally take advantage of perhaps a long format the longer format on the radio. What kinds of companies or businesses are best suited for this kind of media?
Well, I'm not sure every company is suited for this medium. I think a company that is fairly focused in its market and doesn't have a wide variety of products probably would have a great deal of difficulty doing what we do simply because they're narrowly focused, especially if they have a narrow product line. I think that they would have difficulty doing the information giving we have about their product line. But if they were using it for the purpose of hosting as we do, then certainly any company could use this because it provides all the things we've talked about in terms of credibility and exposure and so on over the life of the period of the time that they're on. And if they use it in the ways we do, not just as their only marketing element, but only as part of a marketing element, then there are lots of different things they can do, for instance, with the tapes and so on, just as we do. So I think this could be good for any kind of a firm, depending on their goals. And if some of their goals are to expose themselves over a long period of time and take the chance that they are going to have a program that people are going to be interested in listening to, then I think almost any kind of firm could use this program.
And it seems to me that what you're doing when you have a long format program is doing just what they do on TV. You're creating a half hour or an hour block of time that people you expect will tune in to watch. Even if, you know, we watch TV, we might watch 5 or 6 or 20 channels during the course of a week. The same could be said then for radio. And would you suggest then doing the same thing that they do with TV, using other media elements to then promote that time that you're on the radio to increase listenership, to enhance the amount of exposure you get and the credibility you get, et cetera?
Well, I think you've hit it on the head. The ideal thing is not to just have only one marketing medium, period, whether you're using print or TV or radio, but to have multiple marketing media. And one of the things hopefully our listeners will recall is that we've talked about how we leverage our use of the radio time along with these other things. The tape was just one example. We try to do the same thing with print activities. We want to leverage our radio time by announcing our print in our print materials what shows might be coming up and what people might have an interest in, and we send those to people that we want to be aware of our programming. So for us, it's a very useful tool in that leverage way. And again, if a company thinks about how to leverage its marketing activities and decides that radio is an interesting tool for them to use, they certainly may find other creative ways to leverage it depending on what other kinds of marketing activities they're doing on their own. So there's a real opportunity here if somebody has an interest in doing it.
So if I have a database or I can get a hold of a database, it would be very easy to cultivate those individuals to listen to the shows, to let them know of the topics. And as I'm doing that, as I'm telling them about the programs, I'm really educating about all the things that I do or all the things that my company has an impact on.
Absolutely. And that's what marketing is all about. Now, marketing may or may not relate directly to the sales process. We think it does. And so if you look at marketing as an umbrella that has lots of spokes, some of those spokes may be radio, some are print, some are direct selling activities, the better they work together, the larger area your umbrella covers and the more effectively it stays up in the wind.
It sounds to me also, Joe, that if you're leveraging the investment in a radio show and creating low-cost tapes, you're finding a way to get more for your dollar. Is that the case?
Well, it's certainly the case for us. That's certainly the way we use it, and obviously anybody who can find a way to make their marketing dollar work more than in a singly focused way is getting more for their investment. So absolutely, we try to do that at every opportunity. It's the same idea of keeping an article that you've written in a news in a magazine of some sort, and using it as a marketing tool long after the magazine might have disappeared off the shelves of that anybody might have.
So by adding a 32-cent stamp to an article, all of a sudden you've been able to target that article to a different person or expand the awareness that you've been able to develop.
Right. Well, I think that's the idea. Not only are you keeping the article alive and its utility alive, but now you're able to target it exactly to customers you think might have an interest. So if somebody has an interest in radio, we'll send them the tape on the radio about the radio. If they have an interest in print or marketing affiliate marketing activities, we'll send them a tape about those things. So we're able to use those long after the actual program is over itself.
It seems to me that even a radio interview could then be turned into a print just by being transcribed. It could be turned into print, into thrown into a newsletter, and so by doing one radio program, you could create an audio brochure, you could create something that's written that could go into your newsletter, so then you wouldn't have to spend time or invest to have a copywriter develop copy for a newsletter.
Sure, and something we don't do much of, although it has happened in the past. We've had guests that have had pictures taken, and they've put those in their newsletter or in their promotional materials, because not only are we getting the credibility of using the radio, but the guests we have are using the credibility as well. In effect, by bringing them on, we're providing third-party endorsement for the types of businesses we have, and that's good for everybody.
So it sounds like that this is an argument for not just thinking about investing in any media alone. You have to think about how it's going to be impacted by this whole mix, as you talked about in the beginning, of marketing elements. If I'm going to use all the things that we discussed here today and invest in radio, I have to think, to get the most for my investment in radio, I have to think about investing in direct mail and then perhaps print.
Well, not necessarily as an add-on. I mean, what somebody may think about is adding radio to their mix that they already have. If they're already doing direct mail, or if they're already dealing with customers, let's say in a retail environment, and they're getting customers to come to them and they've got print materials, why not simply advertise your show along with those existing print materials? So you're not creating huge incremental investments, you're simply creating small incremental investments in those other media that you're currently using. Or you just simply may adjust your ads in the newspaper that you're using to say as heard on radio instead of as seen on TV or whatever it happens to be.
And that obviously adds credibility.
And it works.
So it sounds like I'm getting, with all these additional media elements and exponential ways, if you take two elements and now you can get four or five different uses out of it, you're exponentially increasing the value of the dollars you're spending and the return on your investment.
Absolutely.
Great ideas. You're listening to your Network for Success. We're talking with Joe Camara, President of Consulting Task Force, and we're addressing the issue, why would your business want to host a radio program? We'll be back with more after these words.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Squared. The Squared designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to, 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586, 575-737-8586, or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.network4success.com for more details. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6.
Welcome back to your Network for Success. There are more than 1,000 opportunities each year that focus on the guests and topics here we discuss in your Network for Success, 1,000 opportunities to build your business or build your personal success in business. And we welcome you to take advantage of those by calling Consulting Task Force 24 hours a day at 634-7013. Joe, we've talked a lot about the many unique and innovative ways that we've found to use radio. Can you give us an idea of some of the key points that our listeners should be taking with them as we turn off the radio and move forward with their day?
Well, if somebody wanted to do what we're doing, I guess all they'd need to do is listen. Our shows are reasonably informal, although they have a certain structure to them, as our listeners probably have already realized. What it would take to produce a program like ours is a relatively straightforward matter. You probably find somebody that has experience doing it, get somebody comfortable on the radio, find an interesting twist to the topic or the ideas that we're advocating. Certainly, I think, well, it would be nice to, if we had imitators, but so far we don't, so I don't think it's a crucial thing to us. But the point is there's a lot of preparation work to get people to come to the show, make sure they show up on time, have a good show in terms of preparing them for what's going to be talked about. And then what we like to do is follow up and make sure that what happens after the program has been a worthwhile thing.
Well, it sounds like in the same way that we can leverage the value that we get from any media, we should also be able to leverage and spread the cost of the investment over a number of different people. Is that true? And if so, how could people that are listening and want to take advantage of this but may not think that they can afford it today, or that may not think that they can afford the time that you're talking about investing in this, how can they look for ways to maybe to spread that cost of that investment?
Well, you're right. This is not an inexpensive medium, but as our listeners know, we have sponsors. And so one of the ways we've been able to offset some of our costs are by getting sponsors who want to participate in the show or who just want the airtime. And so that's a good arrangement for us. And anyone, I think, again, could do that. It's a common tool that a lot of companies use to work together to provide some sort of an activity that they wouldn't be able to provide on their own. And so the idea of partnering, again, is another concept that we've talked a lot about, and certainly there's no reason you can't partner with other business, like-minded businesses or different businesses in a radio effort.
So when you talk about partnering and like-mindedness, it would seem to me that if I'm going to work with other businesses on a media or medium, they're going to have to all want to target the same or similar types of individuals.
Most likely, sure. It would make little sense, as I mentioned that example earlier, it would make little sense for a firm that wants to target hunters to be on a show that talked about the latest in women's fashions. The two don't really seem to me to go together. Certainly there may be women hunters and there may be men who wear women's clothes, but the numbers of those is probably small and it doesn't seem like a good fit. So what we'd want to do is get the greatest results we can by targeting hunters in general with hunting messages and people who are interested in women's fashions, clothing stores or whatever, to target that kind of a program.
So to avoid looking for competitors to work with, it sounds like we're talking about looking for people who have complementary types of services or products. So in our case, you're talking about a consulting firm perhaps partnering with an accounting firm or a law firm, or somebody that sells office equipment like copiers, or
commercial
a place
real estate, insurance.
Okay,
of
so
course.
So for an electronics, a consumer electronics type of organization, there might be other types of consumer goods that people need to be educated about that may be able to work together and to form some kind of alliance to do something like this and make it very profitable.
Absolutely. I'm sure the possibilities are endless. We certainly don't know all of them, but absolutely there's no reason in the world why an electronics firm couldn't find good partners. Maybe it'd be phone services, maybe it'd be travel services, things that the people in general are interested in that relate to electronics gadgetry.
Before the end of the show, I want to touch on one other question that comes to mind. These are great things to talk about in terms of multiple media elements and bringing lots of people together to make it happen. But if you don't have a fairly well-established management system, it seems to me to be fairly difficult to make this happen over a long time. Is that something that you found to be important and valuable to make all this that we're talking about come?
Well, isn't that true? Isn't that true for any business? Anything that's going to be worthwhile probably has to be managed. So, absolutely. Nothing happens by accident, in my opinion. You got to make it happen, and it's going to take a commitment on somebody's part. If somebody's not committed to the medium or interested in spending their time doing what we're doing, then certainly doesn't make sense.
And after all, the key to successful marketing is longevity and making it perpetual.
Consistency, sure.
Yeah. What kind of results can a business expect to get from making this kind of investment in this kind of new idea?
Well, a lot of it depends on your objectives and what your format of your program is, but some of the things that we find are that people recognize the name of our firm much more than they used to before we started radio. They certainly recognize us as individuals. We have created an image as a result. I think we've enhanced our credibility. We've done the target marketing we've talked about. But beyond those things, in terms of sales, it generates leads for us, creates appointments, and in fact has made sales, or helped us make sales. And so if somebody's looking for a good return on their investment, if they value the things we've talked about, then the investment, like in any marketing medium, is a valuable one.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Squared. The Squared designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to, 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586. 575-737-8586. Or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.network4success.com for more detail. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6. Our program, The Leading Edge of Supply Chain Management, was brought to you by Supply Chain Optimizers. SCO is a logistics company known for providing personalized, end-to-end cost-saving tools and techniques focused on improving the hundreds of opportunities firms have hidden within their supply chain activities. If you want to download 15-minute segment podcasts of this program, simply go to www.networkforsuccess.com. That's network, the number 4, success.com. This program was produced and directed by Your Network for Success and is copyrighted as of March 11th, 2013.